Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. Pastor Brian Parrish is working through a verse-by-verse study of the first chapter of the book of Joshua, and he is now in verses 1 through 4 looking at God's plan for blessing. And today, Pastor Brian Parrish picks up with the idea that we shouldn't allow entanglements in our lives to keep us from the things that God wants to bless us with and wants us to walk in. So we go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Moses died. That's it. You know, I don't want to be insensitive. If you lost a loved one and you're working through some mourning, it says they wept for 30 days in the plains of Moab over the death of Moses. But then God said, it's time to move. It's time to move forward. I'm still going to bring my people into this great victory. It's not going to be through Moses. It's now going to be through Joshua. And you know what? This church is not dependent upon me in any sense. I could die tomorrow and God's work will continue. Because God has someone else in line. If he knows my life's going to end, he's already preparing someone for the task to bring this church even further in the things of God. I just pray I have a long life and I'm able to enjoy and be a part of what the Lord's doing for a long time, but I realize it has nothing to do or dependent upon me. God's work will continue. So I've decided a long time ago that it doesn't matter what happens to the relationship that I have, I'm moving forward in the things of God. I don't know if my children will walk in the things of God. I'm going to raise them. I'm going to pray. But my ministry and what God's called me to do in life is not dependent upon my kids. They're going to come along. That makes the journey even that much more enjoyable. But it's not dependent upon them. It's not dependent upon my spouse. It's not dependent upon the coworkers that I work with and laboring in this field. My loyalty is to God's kingdom. And however he wants to progress it and whoever he wants to use to progress it with me and with my life, that's up to the Lord. And people are going to come and go, and I'm going to have relationships, and I'm going to have friendships, and sometimes those friendships are going to end because of squabbles and fights. Other times God's going to lead other people on, but his work is going to continue on. And sometimes it's real difficult to see people leave. Other times you rejoice because they were a troublemaker, and it was, you know, just God's dealing there. It was an answer to prayer. I'm sure you've had people like that in your life as well, so. But my loyalty is to God and his kingdom, and however, and whichever way he wants to bring that forward, so be it. There are no conditions. And so the Lord may have taken something away from you that you loved. May have been a person. May have been a group of people. May have been a family member, but you need to move forward in the things of the Lord. That is the bottom line. God's work must continue. And sometimes the Lord allows people to die, or something to die, so you get your eyes off of them. I think of Isaiah. It says it was in the year that King Uzziah died. He was a godly kingdom and was leading that nation forward. When he died, that's when it says Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that's where our focus needs to be, because he's the one that's going to establish his work. So he doesn't need you and he doesn't need me. I like what Matthew Henry said about God changing leaders. He says, God will change hands to show that whatever instrument he uses, he is not tied to any. God's not tied to me here. He could use any instruments. Because it's his power and it's his might. So your loyalty needs to be to God's kingdom and to God's purposes of what he wants to accomplish through your lives. His work will continue on. One other quote by Wesley says, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. Don't develop an attachment to me. The work here depends upon God's Spirit. Don't develop an attachment to this church as if this is the only church or the way we worship or the way the Bible's taught here or this ministry or that. Those are just vehicles that God is using to bring his blessing. Realize that there's one loyalty. That's where I want to keep my heart. I want to have a fervency to God and his purposes. I don't want anything to hinder that. And God's going to allow radical things to happen that'll challenge that devotion. There's going to be some painful things. This was painful for the nation of Israel, but he now is saying it's time to move on, time to move forward into the things that God has for us. And that's the way we need to live our life, to make sure that we're always in that very center of the will of God. The second point from verse 2 is that God desires to bless an entire group, where he says to Joshua, now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And notice that phrase. This is what caught my attention. To all this people. This promise wasn't to just a portion of the people. It wasn't just promised to Joshua. It was a promise to that entire nation. So the blessing that God had was available to the entire nation. The same thing is true of what God wants to do in this church. The blessing that God wants to bring in this congregation is available to everybody, as well as the body of Christ around the world. The good things that God has for his people are available to everyone because he shows no partiality. And I carry a burden over that point. Because my desire here, as I teach God's word, is not for a group of people to come into the good things of God, to be dedicated, to be radical, and have a fervency for the things of God. I want the entire congregation to come to that place, to experience all that God is wanting to do among us. And I carry a burden that won't go away until I see that taking place. And there are people that are moving forward, a good number of people moving forward in the things of God, but there's also other people that are dragging their heels, and I can't live with that. I can't just stay comfortable with that. I need to challenge and provoke and use God's word to stir up, to love, and to good works. And I believe that's because God's called me to be a pastor. He's called me to shepherd. He's called me to lead and to guide. And God wants to lead us into greater victories in what we've experienced and greater holiness in what we've experienced. God wants to lead us into the power of prayer, not just a small group that prays. And that seems to be the same thing in church after church. The prayer meeting's the smallest meeting. You have food there, then it's a large meeting. You have prayer, it's a small meeting. I'm not settled with that, nor will I ever be, until we as a congregation, all this people, learn how to pray. Same with the area of worship. Not just for some to be worshiping people and to experience the power and the presence of God in a great and wonderful, joyous way. I want to see that happen in the entire congregation. And I think if you're a parent, you could understand that. Let's say you had four kids. You said, well, one went to Harvard and he's a brain surgeon. One went to MIT. He's a rocket scientist or she's a rocket scientist. Two of them are in prison, but hey, two out of four isn't bad. So we're not looking for 50%. Looking for the entire congregation to move into the fullness of what God has. And I want to discuss that for a moment. And if you turn over to Romans chapter 8, what is this fullness that God wants to bring us all into? Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 29. This is God's eternal plan. So it's really, it's unchangeable. It's unalterable. This is in the heart and mind of God throughout eternity. Verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And this is what God's plan is throughout all eternity, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's God's desire, is that our lives would be conformed to the image and likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 30 says we're going to be glorified, or that we are glorified, and that'll take place when we're in heaven with the Lord in that resurrected, glorified body. And then the Lord will be the firstborn among many brethren. But from the point that you got saved to the point that God delivered you out of the bondage of sin, out of Egypt, he now wants to conform you to the image and likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that means there's going to be battles that are going to be taking place with this flesh, with the devil, with our own weaknesses. But God's desiring for you to come into maturity in Christ Jesus, to move, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, from glory to glory. And that's being changed into the image and likeness of Christ, not staying in the same place, not being satisfied with where you're at now, not settling for being justified, but wanting to move on into sanctification and be more and more like Jesus Christ, day by day, month by month, year after year, until you're taken home.